Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this state, Tuesday, January 26, 2021. As always, we begin with the headlines for today. The first headline reads, High School Sports, Welcome Back. And there's a picture of students at St. Joseph Ogden High School at a basketball practice, and they all have masks on in the gym. The caption reads, Members of the St. Joseph Ogden High School boys basketball team work out Monday in St. Joseph. The scene included masks for players and coaches and a thermometer within reach. The Spartans were one of several area teams to return to the court ahead of Wednesday's IHSA Board of Directors meeting when a high school sports calendar for the remainder of the 2020-21 school year will be finalized. As long as Region 6 stays in Phase 4 or better, prep basketball teams and programs and other higher-risk sports like football and wrestling will be able to compete on the IHSA's timeline. And that photograph is provided by Robin Schultz of the News Gazette. The next headline reads, Coronavirus Vaccine. Some teachers in Champaign County up next. Those doing in-person instruction and with certain health conditions will get higher priority. This article is written by Deborah Pressey and is based out of Champaign. Some teachers with students back in their classrooms are next in line for COVID-19 vaccinations in Champaign County, possibly as soon as next week. Those teachers are next in priority for vaccine after older adults, according to Champaign-Urbana Public Health District Deputy Administrator Avais Vaid. Vaccinations are underway this week for adults 65 and older who were prioritized after adults 75 and older and those 65 and older with certain health conditions. Provided there are enough vaccines on the way for next week, vaccination appointments will become available for daycare workers with underlying health conditions and K-12 teachers and school support staff with health conditions at schools doing in-person instruction, Vaid said. Daycare staff and K-12 teachers and staff without health conditions at schools with in-person instruction will follow, and up next after that will be Parkland College and University of Illinois faculty members with underlying health conditions who are doing in-person instruction, he said. We are still discussing when the Parkland and U of I staff without health conditions will be on the list, Vaid said. That has not been finalized yet. Champaign County expects to receive 4,000 to 5,000 vaccine doses a week, Vaid said. Receiving a lower amount could mean delays for those getting their first doses of vaccine to make sure there's enough for those who must get their second doses at specific times, he said. Teachers and daycare workers doing in-person instruction are part of the essential frontline worker group that is included in vaccination priority phase 1B. Which also includes grocery employees, postal workers, manufacturing workers, transportation workers, first responders, correctional officers, and inmates. Daycare workers and teachers with students in their classrooms are coming up before other categories in that group because of the potential for them to carry COVID-19 into their schools, Vaid said. It's almost impossible to keep that physical distancing with large groups in small spaces, Vaid said. I know they're trying. I know we'd tell kids to wear a mask, but we also know compliance is not 100%. Champaign County was able to get started on vaccinations for older adults about 4 or 5 days ahead of other areas of the state because some healthcare workers who were offered first priority for vaccination chose to wait a bit, according to Vaid. Local officials working together on vaccinations had decided from the start that they wouldn't wait on people, even healthcare workers, who turned down the vaccine when they became eligible, but would move on to the next eligible group. According to a survey done by Public Health ahead of vaccinations, 60 to 70% of healthcare workers indicated they would get vaccinated at their first opportunity, Vaid said. Now that Champaign County has done more than 18,000 vaccinations without issue, some healthcare workers who chose to wait or who were ill or out of town at the time have sought out vaccination appointments, he said. To date, 65% of Christie Clinic staff has been vaccinated, according to Christie Chief Medical Officer Dr. William Pierce. Of the 8,200 people in Carle's vaccine-eligible workforce system, 6,086 have been vaccinated, according to Carle spokesman Caleb Miller. Of those, 4,115 are in Champaign County. Miller also said 83% of Carle's doctors, advanced practice nurses, and physician assistants in Champaign County have been vaccinated. Because of the phased approach to vaccination set by the Illinois Department of Public Health, we anticipate more employees will begin receiving their first dose when we move into the next phases of the vaccination plan, Miller said. Fade said people have become increasingly comfortable about getting vaccinated as the federal government's message has grown more consistent that the vaccine is effective. The vaccines can also protect against the new, potentially more deadly, B.1.1.7 or B.1.17 variant strain, first found in the United Kingdom, he said. A few probable B.1.17 cases have turned up in Champaign County. A few probable B.1.17 cases have turned up in Champaign County. There are waiting on confirmation through a state lab, Vade said. I think it's important that as your turn comes, get vaccinated, he urged. For the most part, older adults haven't needed a nudge, with available vaccine appointments filling up fast. Still waiting among older adults are some living in long-term care facilities. Long-term care staffs and residents are being vaccinated under a separate program run by the state under a contract with CVS and Walgreens. The Public Health District verified Monday that all remaining long-term care facilities in Champaign County have been scheduled for vaccinations before February 12th, Vade said. Today on WDWS 1400 AM, at 9 AM, it's an hour of open line on Penny for Your Thoughts. Join the conversation by calling 217-356-9397. It's 35 degrees currently in Champaign County. The next headline reads, University of Illinois. With new variant, President Killeen says U of I will have to up our game. This article is written by Ben Sigderman and is based out of Urbana. As the spring semester began Monday, University of Illinois President Tim Killeen expressed concern about the more contagious variant of COVID-19 that is now spreading throughout the state. Eight more cases of the B.1.1.7 variant were detected Monday in Illinois, according to the state health department, though none so far at the U of I, Killeen said. Our SHIELD team is worried that if some of those variants that are more transmissive come over here in significance, we will have to up our game on mitigation strategies, including the protocols and the compliance and frequency of testing. All of the things that gave us a successful fall semester, Killeen said at a virtual meeting of the Academic Senate's Executive Committee. Even without the new variant, Killeen said there could be 300 to 500 new cases students bring to campus. And we're going to jump on it like we always do, he said. Hopefully, it'll just be a beginning blip. Killeen addressed a number of other topics during Monday's annual meeting with the Senate's Executive Committee. On pay raises for faculty, Killeen was urged by multiple faculty members to implement a salary program or pay raise. If the only way you can get a competitive increase in salary is by getting on the job market, then there's a challenge for us, philosophy professor Helga Varden said. Applied health science professor Kim Graber. I know it's a difficult budgetary time, but I can't even remember the last time we had a 3% raise. It's just not acceptable for a world-class university. Killeen said he agreed that we can't be static with compensation. Through this year, there have been no layoffs, no furloughs, and unfortunately no pay raises, but we want to get back to that normal business next year, perhaps with a modest kind of increase, he said. Those decisions have not yet been made. Andy said the size of the increase would depend on state funding and collective bargaining agreements. The state funding is really important because that goes directly into salaries, he said. And we've got to honor all of the collective bargaining agreements, which in some cases add stress as well to the overall fiscal situation. On testing for the Champaign-Urbana community. The U of I is still waiting on the FDA for approval for its saliva-based test, which would give it more liability protection. But Colleen said plans are quite mature now to expand the testing to different groups in the community, mentioning long-term health facilities, schools, and vulnerable populations. On requiring the vaccine, Colleen said that since the vaccines were approved on an emergency basis, the U of I can't require students or faculty to take the vaccine. You could possibly go down a path that you can't get into a building if you don't have a vaccine card or something like that, but you can't force people to take an emergency use authorized vaccine, he said. And there's a photograph of University of Illinois President Tim Colleen at Monday's virtual meeting. The next headline reads, Coronavirus Pandemic, Day 318 by the numbers. Illinois, 1,104,763 total cases at this point in time. That's up by 2,944. There have been 18,798 deaths. That's up by 49. And the seven-day positivity rate is 4.7%, which is down by 0.1%. And by the counties. Out of Champaign County, 15,966 cases. That's up by 83. There have been 106 deaths, and the positivity rate currently is at 4.8%, which is down by 0.1%. Out of Douglas County, there have been 2,133 cases, which is up by 12. There have been 37 deaths, and the positivity rate is currently at 6.5%, which is up by 0.2%. Out of Piatt County, there have been 1,254 cases. That's up by 9. There have been a total of 12 deaths, and the current positivity rate is at 3.5%, which is down by 0.4%. Out of Vermilion County, there have been 7,250 total cases of COVID-19, and that's up by 92 cases. There have been 90 deaths, and the positivity rate is now at 7.8%, which is actually down by 0.6%. And specifically on the U of I campus, there have been 5,083 cases. That's up by 17. There have been zero deaths, and the positivity rate right now is at 0.3%, which it's remained steady at for the past few weeks. Updates are available 24/7 at newsgazette.com. The next headline reads, Illinois impact. Seven-day rates, hospitalizations continue downward trends across area. April's mom weekend, a no-go. Three area counties on Monday recorded their lowest seven-day positivity rates in more than 3 months. Piatt at 3.5%, that's the lowest in 110 days. Ford at 3.8%, which is the lowest in 109 days. And Champaign at 4.8%, which is at its lowest in 93 days. It's a similar story for 21 County Region 6, which saw its seven-day rate hold at 5.4%, 15 days without an increase, and its hospitalization decline for the sixth straight day. They're at 159 total, which is 21 fewer than a week ago. A warning from State Public Health Director Dr. Ngozi Ezike. Illinois has now detected 9 cases of the more contagious virus variant first spotted in the United Kingdom. All 9 cases involve Cook County residents. Based on today's information, the vaccine will still be effective against the variant, Ezike says. Continued masking and vaccination, when it's your turn, remain our best path to defeating this virus as quickly as possible. The latest U of I campus tradition to be canceled by COVID-19, April's in-person Moms Weekend. Virtual tributes to Illini moms are in the works, Vice Chancellor Danita Brown Young said on Monday. And that information is collected for us by Jeff D'Alessio of the News Gazette. Coming Wednesday, in Jeff D'Alessio's weekly Illini Insider, Clara Chu, CHU, takes us on a tour of her favorite U of I spots. The next headline reads, Top of the Morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. During the school year, John Lubinsky drives from his home in St. Joseph to his teaching job in Potomac. On March 27th, he'll run the route. Lubinsky and Wade Rogers Armstrong Schools will hoof it 26.2 miles on side roads in Champaign and Vermilion counties to raise money for physical education departments at the school where they teach. The head-to-head race starts in St. Joseph and ends in the parking lot of Potomac Grade School. I drive from St. Joe to Potomac every day, so I knew it would be close to the 26 miles we needed to cover for the challenge, Lubinsky said. I sat down with a mapping program and put in the route, making sure to stay off the interstate. The friends are using Twitter, Facebook, and GoFundMe to raise awareness and money for hashtag Team Lubinsky, that's Lubinski, and hashtag Team Rogers ahead of the event. Visit newsgazette.com for links. The hope is to replace equipment that has seen better days, Lubinsky said, from basketballs to medicine balls to a lot in between. At the finish line, high school students will throw a cornhole tournament. To get more people out and active and hopefully help raise a few more dollars for our departments, Lubinsky said. Who's going to win? This will be my 13th marathon and Wade's first, so I have the edge here, Lubinsky said. However, he has the age advantage on his side since he's 15 years younger than I am. Plus, Rogers is an AP grad. I think he definitely has history in the community on his side, Lubinsky said, but I'm pretty confident I'll at least get the support from most of my PGS families. And there's a couple of nice photos in the paper as well. One is of John Lubinsky as he teaches a physical education class at Potomac Grade School. He's in the gym with a mask on with some other students spread out, socially distanced. And then there's a photograph of Wade Rogers as he leads a physical education class in Armstrong. So he's leading some kids, helping them stretch in the photograph. Good luck to them both. Corrections. The News Gazette strives to present fair and accurate reporting and to correct any errors as promptly as possible. Corrections and clarifications for all sections run on this page. To report an error, please call 217-351-5252, then press 6 to reach the newsroom. That's 217-351-5252, then press 6. History. Let's take a look at history today. Area history. In 1921, representatives of a California motion picture company are asking Urbana businessmen if they would be interested in the production of a film about Urbana that would be shown in theaters around the country. The cost to individual members would be low, approximately $2 per member. In 1971, members of the University of Illinois basketball team, which plans to play number one ranked Southern Cal in Chicago Friday, were scheduled to receive shots for infectious hepatitis. The shots were termed precaution after assistant coach Nat Fazier was sickened. In 2006, the Illinois Supreme Court has agreed to rule on whether the University of Illinois must bargain with union employees over parking fees. The decision will affect about 150 food service workers and 600 building service workers and maids, plus members of the campus police force. In a case brought by Service Employees International Union Local 73, the Illinois Educational Labor Relations Board initially ruled that the U of I committed unfair labor practices by refusing to bargain with the union over parking fees on the Urbana-Champaign campus. In international history, today's highlight, on January 26, 2020, NBA legend Kobe Bryant, 41, and his 13-year-old daughter and seven others were killed when their helicopter plunged into a steep hillside in dense morning fog in Southern California. On this date in 1961, President John F. Kennedy appointed Dr. Janet G. Travell to be his personal physician, the first woman to hold the job. In 1988, the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical Phantom of the Opera opened at Broadway's Majestic Theater. In 1992, Democratic presidential candidate Bill Clinton, appearing with his wife Hillary on CBS's 60 Minutes, acknowledged causing pain in my marriage, but said past problems were not relevant to the campaign. In 1998, President Bill Clinton denied having an affair with a former White House intern, telling reporters, "I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky." And in 2009, Nadia Suhlman gave birth at Kaiser Permanente Bellflower Medical Center in California to six boys and two girls. Criticism came after the public learned that the unemployed single mother had gotten pregnant with the octuplets and six elder children through in vitro fertilization. The next headline reads, Coronavirus pandemic Biden orders COVID-19 travel restrictions. This is an article that's based out of Washington and is written by the Associated Press. President Joe Biden on Monday reinstated COVID-19 travel restrictions on most non-U.S. travelers from Brazil, Ireland, the United Kingdom, and 26 other European countries that allow travel across open borders. He also added South Africa to the list. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said South Africa was added to the restricted list because of concerns about a variant of the virus that has spread beyond that nation. This isn't the time to be lifting restrictions on international travel, Psaki said. The prohibition Biden is reinstating suspends entry to nearly all foreign nationals who have been in any of the countries on the restricted list at any point during the 14 days before their scheduled travel to the U.S. Top U.S. infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci called Biden's decision to reinstate the travel restrictions and add South Africa to the list prudent in a round of television interviews on Monday. "We have concern about the mutation that's in South Africa," Fauci told CBS This Morning. "We're looking at it very actively. It is clearly a different and more ominous. It is different and more ominous than the one in the UK, and I think it's very prudent to restrict travel of non-citizens." Biden reversed an order from President Donald Trump in his final days in office that called for the relaxation of the travel restrictions as of Tuesday. Trump's move was made in conjunction with a new requirement from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that all international travelers to the U.S. obtain a negative test for COVID-19 within 3 days of boarding their flight. Last week, Biden expanded on the CDC requirement and directed that federal agencies require international travelers to quarantine upon arrival in the U.S. and obtain other negative tests or test to slow the spread of the virus. Those requirements also go into effect on Tuesday, so that double testing. The State Department said in a statement that U.S. citizens should reconsider non-essential travel abroad, noting that access to testing in some nations remains difficult. The agency also cautioned Americans to consider ahead of international travel how they'd pay for health care and additional lodging costs if they became infected or hospitalized while traveling. The 26 European countries impacted by reinstatement of the ban are part of the border-free Schengen zone. That's S-C-H-E-N-G-E-N zone. They include Austria, Belgium, Czech Republic, Denmark, Estonia, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Iceland, Italy, Latvia, Liechtenstein, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Malta, Netherlands, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Slovakia, Slovenia, Spain, Sweden, and Switzerland. Biden's team had announced that he would reimpose the travel restrictions, but the addition of South Africa to the restricted travel list highlights the new administration's concern about mutations in the virus. The South Africa variant has not been discovered in the United States, but another variant, originating in the United Kingdom, B.1.1.7, has been detected in several states. Fauci said there is a very slight, modest diminution of the effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccines against those variants. But there's enough cushion with the vaccines that we have that we still consider them to be effective against both the UK strain and the South Africa strain. But he warned that more mutations are possible and said scientists are preparing to adapt the vaccines if necessary. The next headline reads, weather forecast. Winter storm threatens Midwest with snow and travel disruptions. This article is based out of Omaha, Nebraska, and is written by the Associated Press. A major winter storm threatened to blanket parts of the middle of the country with more than a foot of snow Monday, promising to disrupt travel and forcing the closure of some coronavirus testing sites. The National Weather Service said at least 4 inches of snow is expected across most of an area stretching from central Kansas northeast to Chicago and southern Michigan. Parts of southeast Nebraska and western Iowa could get more than 3 times that much by Tuesday morning. Several coronavirus testing sites in Nebraska and Iowa were closing early Monday because of the snow. More than 10 inches of snow had already fallen in parts of eastern Nebraska by Monday evening. National Weather Service meteorologist Taylor Nicolaysen said 10 to 15 inches of snow was likely between York, Nebraska, and Des Moines, Iowa, and that it had been at least 15 years since that area received more than a foot of snow in a single storm. "This is a historic snow," said Nicolaysen, who was based near Omaha, Nebraska. Officials urged drivers to stay off the roads during the storm, especially during the heaviest snowfall in the afternoon and evening. Nebraska State Patrol troopers responded to more than 200 weather-related incidents on Monday. "Do not travel unless it's absolutely necessary," said Nebraska State Patrol Colonel John Bolduc. Roughly 250 semi-trucks pulled off the road to wait out the storm at the Petros truck stop alongside Interstate 80 in York, Nebraska. Manager Rachel Adamson said she could see knee-high drifts and that the maintenance man had to go out every 30 minutes to shovel the sidewalks to keep up with the snow. "We haven't had this much snow in quite a few years," Adamson said. Iowa State Patrol Sergeant Alex Dinkla said road conditions deteriorated quickly and numerous vehicles slid off roads in central Iowa. "The big thing that people are seeing is that this snow system is packing a big punch," Dinkla said to the Des Moines Register. "As we have seen the system move into Iowa, the road conditions go from zero snow on the road to an immediate totally covered roadway in just a matter of minutes." The next headline reads, "Coronavirus Response. Area libraries reopening their doors with limitations." This article is written by Deborah Pressey and is based out of the Champaign community. After more than 2 months of being closed for public access, libraries in Champaign and Urbana are preparing to reopen their doors February 1st, and the Danville Public Library reopened Monday. Patrons were ready to come back inside the library in Danville. Despite snow and sleet falling, there were three people waiting outside as doors opened at 9 a.m., according to circulation manager Mary Jane Easterday. All three libraries have been closed since late November, when the state began imposing stricter rules to try and slow down the spread of the coronavirus. Curbside pickup up at those libraries will continue to be an option for patrons who don't want to come inside the buildings. Both the Champaign Public Library and Urbana Free Library said they'll reopen on a grab-and-go basis with limited hours to minimize public contact. While patrons are being asked to come in and find what they need, check out, and leave without lingering, Champaign Library Director Donna Pittman said patrons are still welcome to browse through the materials. "It just means we're not going to have seating available to spend time at tables or in study rooms," she said. Pittman said the decision to reopen the Champaign Library was made after checking around with similar-sized libraries in this area of the state. "So we just decided it was time, and we feel as long as we can keep people masked and wearing their masks, we can do this safely," she said. Champaign and Urbana libraries will permit seating just to use computers, which will require reservations. The Urbana Free Library is also requiring appointments for access to its Champaign County Historical Archives. The Danville Library has also reopened public computer access, though reservations aren't required there, and the public can also come in to use fax and copy machines, Easterday said. Remaining closed for now at the Champaign Library will be meeting and study rooms, the cafe, and Friend Shop bookstore. And kids and teens 15 and under will still need to be accompanied by an adult, Pittman said. In addition to requiring masks to be worn correctly, covering both the mouth and the nose, the Champaign Library is also warning patrons that bandanas, scarves, crocheted masks, masks with exhalation valves, and face shields won't be allowed. While the three larger libraries closed for public access in November, the Tolono and Rantoul libraries opted to remain open with safety measures in place. Though through the last couple of months, the Tolono Library never hit its capacity limits, said Library Director Janet Klurr. "We stayed open, and it worked out really well for us," she said. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, January 26, 2021. I'll be back shortly to continue reading part two, so please stay with me.